The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high five moment today? Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct. But most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right.
This is the Doug Gottlieb Show. Here's In the Bonus with Doug Gottlieb.
What up? Doug Gottlieb Show in the Bonus on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome in. So we have a night of NBA stuff. By the way, if you want my Caleb Williams take, you'll just have to stay tuned and listen to the radio show. We roll into that one. But last night, the Thunder just demolished the New Orleans Pelicans. We thought it was a night when the underdogs would come and win a game. I thought the Miami pick against the line was an easy one. That's what I gave you last night, I believe, right? Wasn't that my pick of the day? Was Miami, and they were a 14.5-point dog at tip time. 14.5-point, and they won straight up. I just liked to pick them. I didn't pick them to win. I didn't do the money line thing. But you had to know they were going to come correct, and they end up, I mean, they shoot 23 of 43 from three. You're going to win about 99% of the games in which that happens if you defend at all. But maybe the biggest, most curious thing is how bad Boston was against their zone. You know, just couldn't figure it out. Celtics scored 18 points and 22 points. In other words, they scored 40 points after the break. So you had a halftime to break down what they're doing. And granted, Miami ran more zone the second half than the first half. I think Boston's okay, or as we'll discuss a little bit later. But this Miami team, they do a great job of getting in your head, don't they? With the heat culture shit, you know, with the, you just look at him, you're like, I don't know, like, really, Tyler Hero, is he that good? And then Tyler Hero busted their ass last night. 24 and 14 and 5, holy cow. You know? And Jaime Jaquez hitting three threes, Caleb Martin hitting five threes, Novak Djokovic hitting three threes last night, and then just bringing shooting in off the bench. I thought it was obviously an outstanding game plan, but one in which you do think the Celtics can react to. The Celtics are better on the road in the playoffs, but that was a weird one. That was one of those shooters games. And that's why I think the two teams that are likely going to lose but won playoff games are ones in which you want to get this thing done in six. Like, if I'm Boston, I want that thing done in six. I don't want a game seven where, while it's unlikely, Miami does have one of these 50% three-point shooting games in them. And the same goes for Luka Doncic, right? I think the Clippers are still better than Dallas through seven games, but I don't want to get to a game seven where that guy can win a game on his own. And speaking of Oklahoma City, God, are they fun to watch. And Oklahoma City reminds me of when I did the NBA draft for 10 years on ESPN Radio, and it does relate a little bit to this year's NFL draft coming up tonight. And I remember you'd meet these guys, and you're like, these are just incredible young men. Right? They all have tremendous stories. You ask them about how they got there, the feeling. They're just, they're big-eyed. Now, I do think some of that's changing because they already have money in their pocket. And so some of them have already taken on the persona of being a professional and being a little bit closer to the vest. But I think for Oklahoma City, this kind of young group, how can you keep them together to where they like each other, they love each other, they like playing with each other? Big question. But right now, it's super fun.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Karol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Duda Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered.
You can build internal resources. That's what the study of psychology is about, building internal resources.
Turning towards is one of the most important elements of successful relationships, no matter what kind of relationship it is.
The thing that underpins all of this productivity stuff is finding a way to make the journey itself enjoyable. The journey is the destination.
The beauty of uncertainty is infinite possibility. When you don't know what's next, you don't know what's next. And thus, anything can be next.
Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get to what the Fox said.
And now...
This is Keyshawn Johnson talking about Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams.
I like Jaden Daniels more because I think he's more pro-ready. Okay, and what's pro-ready to me? Right. A guy, when I look at the league, typically on certain down and distances, you are in shotgun because they want to get you back so you can see the defense, the rush is coming, you got room to move around. Jaden Daniels could do both. He could go underneath the center. He can drop back. I like Jaden Daniels' skill set at running the football, not sneak attack running. See, Caleb is more of a sneak attack. He's looking to throw. He's like, then he goes. Jaden makes a decision, Lamar Jackson-like, and he's gone. I'm not saying he is Lamar Jackson. I'm saying like. Okay? So when you look at his ability to take the football, put his foot in the ground, retrace, do all sorts of little things, he throws a pretty deep ball. His ball turns around with whistle. I like all the anticipation with him, all of those sort of things. And again, it does not mean that I don't like Caleb. Right. I just prefer Jaden Daniels.
He prefers Caleb. And that's interesting because Keyshawn's such an SC guy, right? Normally SC guys. Now, Keyshawn also a bit of a contrarian. But I find it fascinating. I haven't heard anybody in football say they like Jaden Daniels above that. You know, I think part of the issue with Jaden Daniels is the sack taking under pressure. And I think that's because people believe he's not reading it and processing it and knowing where the blitzes are coming from. But when, you know, somebody says something about one of your own, when When an SC guy says, I would take Jaden Daniels, that one alerts everybody. Here's Dan Patrick talking about the NFL draft.
You know, teams build, you know, 2 through 7. Like, first round is great. You can't miss on that. But 2 through 7 is where you build a roster. And if you look at what some of these teams, you know, did last year, when you're looking at these picks and you're going, so the league's 4 highest paid wide receivers, Amon Ross, St. Brown, Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, they were selected 2 or later. Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Mark Andrews, Sam Laporta, they weren't selected in the first round. Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb, they were selected in round 2. So as much attention as we give the first round, certainly the quarterbacks, you're going to build your roster and you're going to look back and say, where'd they draft that guy? Where'd they get him? And then chances are it won't be in the first round.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, so many of these great stories come from guys that weren't drafted in the first round. I think it's really about overall roster composition. And I've seen some of these fucking idiots on social media, and they take the bait of the have to have the skill position stuff, right? And look no further than the New York Jets, who had great skill position players. Couldn't protect Aaron Rodgers. It's not the reason he tore his Achilles tendon, but you think they were going to have a good season with that offensive line, you're kidding yourself. I like picks that make sense. For example, last year, the Eagles, I didn't love. They took some risks there on some guys that had some red flags, but they did so knowing that their defensive line was like a year away from retiring and breaking up and whatever, and so they replenished it. Like, you can get a really good sense of what somebody thinks of their team based upon who they're drafting and what their plan is. It's not simply, hey, we need a wide receiver, pick a wide receiver. It's, we need a wide receiver. Okay, but does a wide receiver make sense at this pick, or are we going to have one, plenty available in the next couple rounds that won't cost us a lot of equity in a pick or a lot of money? So that part's interesting. Here's 3 pros and a cup of Joe talking about Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back.
For what it's worth, you took the money, you broke the rules. Okay, if that's what it is, then stand on that. That's I have no problem with that, the idea of the rules being broken. And I know for me, I didn't break any rules. So I'm looking at it from a perspective of it's purely about my legacy. So if Reggie Bush felt as though it was someone else that was more culpable, even if it was a family member, if it was not me that was doing this rule breaking, if that is the case and that's the scenario where a family member was benefiting from somebody else during the course of this time, and I'm Reggie Bush, I do not want my legacy being ruined based off of somebody else's decisions that were connected to me. Which goes back, I would look at it.
Yeah, and it goes back to the initial point. It's why it makes it much simpler. You just say, what did the guy do on the field? Was he the best player? Yeah, there you go. Like it doesn't need to get more complicated than that. And that's unfortunately where I think some of these awards have gotten is they try. I mean, even the Hall of Fame, you know, for the NFL Hall of Fame, like you see guys who should get in, but well, how they treat them, how are they? And it's like, well, that's not really like how we viewed that player.
Terrell Owens. Yeah. I still don't get it. It's just,
I mean, he's the case figure for a guy that no doubt was one of the greatest wide receivers to ever do it. And yet, you know, people, oh, well, you know, how he treated the man. It's like, what, because he was doing abs?
Yeah, I don't fall for Reggie's bullshit. You know, I don't have a problem with him necessarily getting the Heisman Trophy back. But this act as if he was a victim to anybody who's around. And I would encourage people to listen to Petros Papadakis, who was at USC at the time. Right. Again, right now you're looking at it. This is probably our biggest problem with history is we look at it through a lens of our own experience and we look at it through the lens of today. Right. The lens of today. When that's not really fair. I'll give you here's a perfect parallel to it. OK, have you guys ever heard the Joe Biden speech on this is like 30 years ago in front of Congress? On cleaning up crime. It's like an anti-crime bill. And people now will say, like, oh, this is Joe Biden, who 30 years ago was basically his stances were much more of a, what would now be termed as a Republican stance in terms of crime and punishment. Right. It was back in the three strikes laws were passed, whatever. But as times change, those lines kind of evolve and we're not taking the context of the time. The context of the time was what he was for at that time was where the Democratic Party was in comparison to the Republican Party. Am I making sense? Okay, so you can even go back historically where we've had in the super woke movement as they've taken presidents' names down off of schools and office buildings because they were slave owners. And they're like, well, forget what they wrote in the Constitution. They were slave owners. Keeping it, forgetting the fact that at that point in time in history, all of these free countries had slaves and America was set out to eventually move away from that. Right? Move away from it. There was economic reasons as well as the basics of white supremacy that took place at the time. Don't get me wrong, like Jim Crow laws are embarrassing if looked at now. But again, in the context of the time, there were different arguments to be made. This is not a history class. What this is saying is, again, you have to take the context of the time. Hey, and what's really infuriating to those of us who were alive is USC was cheating their balls off. Okay, make no mistake about it. Miami was always cheating their fucking balls off and they kept getting caught. And USC was cheating their balls off, and they were this storied kind of resurgent program. Don't get me wrong. They had really good coaches. They had really good players. They had really good teams. And they had a lot of talent during the down years. But you're it's like challenging Petros Papadakis. He's like, I was actually a running back on that team. And I heard his rant yesterday on LA radio, which was like, it wasn't just that he was getting a little something for his name, image, and likeness. They were getting tons of money and then flaunting it. And his parents were flying all over the country and he was driving a nice car and people kept asking him and he was, you know, he was in attack mode. Now he's a victim. Like, that's fucking bullshit. But he said he was on campus at the time. Like, he was still a part of the SC program, I believe. So remember, like, Petros used to do the PA at the basketball games. You know, he started off doing some local football coverage. Like, he's made himself into a dude, right? The kind of voice of the West Coast. So if Petros says it, I know it to be true. And I know it from how they were viewed nationally, which is nationally, everybody's like, how do you get Lendale White and Reggie Bush in the same backfield? How the fuck do you think you did? Right? How do you think it happens? How'd they get those guys to share the spotlight? They fucking paid them. Duh. The same way that you guys remember the, have you ever seen the Arkansas backfield or the, I think there was an Auburn backfield that had Ronnie Brown, Cadillac Williams, and then what was the big running back? He transferred to Southern Illinois. He played on Eli's second Super Bowl team. He's actually pretty funny on Twitter. Big old dude. Running back, huh? No. Shit. Let's see if we can look it up real quick. No. Hold on. Yes. Brandon Jacobs. Brandon Jacobs was the third running back there. Right? Like, wow, how'd they get all that talent? How do you think? Right? But we're only allowed to say the SEC cheats and the Pac-12, then USC didn't cheat. Come on, man. I wouldn't have given back the Heisman anyway. Once they gave him the Heisman, it's yours. Don't fucking give it back. If they're going to let OJ keep his Heisman, fuck, then absolutely should keep his Heisman. I'm fine with it. But don't sit here and go like, and we act like he's such a victim when not one time has he been like, hey, at the time I was breaking rules and I feel bad about it. I still performed on a football field. I performed to the point that I won the Heisman Trophy. That was all real. That was all legit. I wasn't ineligible at the time. So I'm so happy to have this back and be surrounded by the best players in college football. Like, I don't think anybody would have much of an issue with that. But let's be fucking honest. Like, they had dudes everywhere. And it wasn't because Will Ferrell came to practice or Snoop Dogg came to practice. That's what the Fox said. What does the
Fox say? Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Karol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Theodore Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered.
You can build internal resources. That's what the study of psychology is about, building internal resources.
Turning towards is one of the most important elements of successful relationships, no matter what kind of relationship it is.
The thing that underpins all of this productivity stuff is finding a way to make the journey itself enjoyable. The journey is the destination.
The beauty of uncertainty is infinite possibility. When you don't know what's next, you don't know what's next. And thus, anything can be next.
Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's find out who's annoying Jason Stewart.
And now, it's your annoying.
Hey, Doug, Anthony Davis is having a week. So Anthony Davis had a pretty cool like first quarter in game two against the Nuggets and then kind of disappeared in the fourth quarter. He on the day that he complained that the league doesn't like him for not considering him for defensive player of the year, he's the one who was defending Jamal Murray when he made the game-winning shot, which was very appropriate. After the game, Anthony Davis said this.
We have stretches where we just don't know what we're doing on both ends of the floor.
So Darvin Ham took that personally. It sounds like Anthony Davis is kind of calling out his coaches or his preparation. And Darvin Ham says, I just think sometimes plays don't turn out the way that they should. The frustration sets in a little bit, but I don't think it's for us not being organized. I think I have incredibly talented coaches all along my staff, and we pride ourselves on whether it's a practice or shoot around or games or whatever, we pride ourselves on the highly efficient and being organized. I'm on Darvin Ham's side here. I think the last people Anthony Davis should be blaming is the coaches for like having these disappearing acts in the fourth quarter. He's way too talented. In fact, watching him play in the first half of game two was kind of an indictment on him not showing up in the fourth. Like, you're that good. You could dominate a game. And what happened? So Anthony Davis, annoying for, I guess, trying to throw his coaches under the bus.
I don't think it landed well. I don't think it landed well. And I don't know if he's throwing his coach under the bus or some of his teammates under the bus or both. But, you know, it's one of those things where we want so badly to hear honesty, right? Like, that's our search. Our search is for honesty, from players. Like, hey, just tell me the truth of what's really going on. The problem is that they're seeing it from their, when you have a guy that's not seeing it from any sort of accountability angle. You know, there is something to just the old school of standing where you want the ball and getting your hand out and saying, give me the fucking ball. Right? That's like old basketball 101. And I think that's what's missing from Anthony Davis.
We've talked about Jim Trotter on this show. Jim Trotter used to work for NFL Media. They didn't extend his contract, and now he works for The Athletic. Very much has taken up the cause, the black cause, the cause for the black man, black woman. And in his column today, it's just an amazing hedge job. He goes on to talk about how Caitlin Clark is like a one of one on the court, how she's transcended her game, how she's amazing to watch, how there's a reason why there's all this viewership. And then he really felt the need to be like, but let's not act like race isn't a part of this. And I'll just quote what he says. All that being said about her her play, we should not delude ourselves into believing her appeal as an influencer is based solely on basketball. It's not. Arguing otherwise is an affront to history and reality. Clark's attractiveness to local companies and national corporations is heightened by the fact that she is a white woman who has dominated a sport that's viewed as predominantly black. A straight woman who is joining a league with a sizable LGBTQ plus player population and a person in the heartland where residents often feel their beliefs and values are ignored and disrespected by the geographical edges of the country. I think everything he just said is true. I think that her race does factor in. I think if you do this, that pie that you and I have talked about of why Caitlin Clark is so popular and why she's going to sell a lot of merchandise, I think if you take that pie, race is a piece of it, but we'll never know how much of a piece of it is. And I think it's ignorant to say that it isn't. And I also think being a straight woman is a big part of this. Doug, you have had the balls to go on national radio and say that you think that her being straight is a factor in this. I don't know what the size of that piece is, but it is a factor. But I just want to call Jim Trotter out for having the biggest hedge job of all time. She's a one of one, but let's not act like race isn't a factor here.
Yeah, it was. I do think race is a factor. I also think, though, that it's interesting. Race is a factor mostly because we make it a factor, right? Do I think that's what drew people to Caitlin Clark? I don't. I definitely think that she'll be championed by people who feel like, hey, white people aren't represented enough in basketball. But I don't think, I mean, here's the reality. The reality to it is, WNBA, no one gives a shit. No one's paid any attention, including Jim Trotter. Okay? Because if Jim Trotter knew what he was talking about, he would, yes, Asia Wilson is a black woman. But if you listed out the most known and best WNBA players, like, who are they? Who are they? I mean, Think about this for a second. Like, who do you know who's a WNBA player?
You just mentioned, I think, that A.J. Wilson is the one. I know Breonna Stewart.
Breonna Stewart. Who else do I know? She's white.
Sue Bird still in the league?
No, Sue Bird just retired. She's white.
Taurasi.
Diana Taurasi, right? So it's like, there's also, what's the woman's name? There's also Sabrina Ionescu.
Who's the former Spark that went to Chicago and... What's her name? She's on TNT all the time.
Oh, yeah.
What can I think of her name?
I played Sam? Against Anthony, her brother.
Former Tennessee Vol, right?
Yes. Candace Parker. Anthony Parker's her brother. There played against is. Him in Israel. So Candace Parker. I'm trying to think. What is the woman? Does she still play? Who's... She went to UConn and then took a year off. And then Elena Deladon, does she still play?
Maybe.
Okay.
Brittany Griner, did you mention her?
Yeah. But Brittany Griner is kind of what used to be, right? So anyway, the point is that in women's basketball, there's a much greater depth of white players at the top of the sport than there is in the NBA. There are, but they're all foreign born, right? So I don't think it's a sport that's been dominated by predominantly black players. I do think it's a sport that has been dominated, or the perception of it is, it's a sport made up of like 70% lesbians. Right? It's a very different environment. Okay. And, you know, I think that there's a lot, there's just a lot of different movements and anti-movement movements that are involved in this thing. Like, I don't, the whole transgender athlete thing, I don't think is actually really a big deal in terms of the numbers, right? Like the percentage of people, and obviously to this point, it hasn't affected WNBA basketball. Maybe it does at some point. But again, people for or against that movement, they have a side here they can pick in the WNBA, right? The LGBTQ plus movement has a piece of this game. I think that there's another factor to it, which is men's college basketball doesn't have anybody, it feels like, that stayed the same place for 4 years and been a star. Or, you know, those records are relatively unattainable for a men's player because they don't stay for, if they're any good, they don't stay for 4 years anymore. And they definitely don't stay at the same school. So that makes it a difference. So there's all kinds of factors. But I'm not blind to the fact that race is an issue, and that I thought he actually put it well. Like, there is a Midwestern values. Here's a wholesome girl. She's one of us. She doesn't have tattoos. She doesn't have dyed hair. She just has straight hair. And she goes out and hoops. She's a hooper. Right? Her boyfriend's a hooper. Her dad encouraged her to hoop. And she's a fucking hooper. And that's what we like, and that's what we wrap our arms around. And she's from Iowa, plays for Iowa, all about Iowa, stayed at Iowa, blah, 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 right? Sure, there's an element of it where she's popular because she's white. But I think that not painting the total picture, not being honest about the sport. Here's the biggest problem with the WNBA is no one's honest with these people. And we talked about that with Caleb Williams in the radio show. So if you listen to this pod, you listen to the radio show, and it rolls over, you'll hear that as well. Like, this is a generation of people that has never been told no, or never been told you're wrong, right? Because we, our pendulum has swung from when our grandparents were kid, which was everybody wore a white shirt and a black tie and went to work, you know, and the dad went to work and the mom didn't, and she stayed home and you were married until you died, and et cetera. And you know, everything was, you know, heterosexual relationships and not in, like the Ozzie and Harriet thing, to now where we swung completely the other direction, which is like, hey, you go do you, right? You go do you, which doesn't really work with sports, by the way. And so no one's been honest with WNBA players. It's like last year when you had the big debate over, should they take commercial flights or should they take private flights? Like, hey, your league doesn't make enough money to send you on private. Just doesn't. It doesn't. If you want to take from the revenue that you're going to get, sure, by all means. But if you want to take from our profit, like, why? You're all in big cities. You know, travel issues happen. And if we need to get from A to B and it's a ridiculous travel, like, okay, maybe that changes. But they pushed and pushed and pushed, and now they have private travel. Well, here's what happens. Less people are going to want to invest in that and buy a new WNBA team if, wait, I got to fly in private? Why? So no one has told him, like, look, you're doing well. The league is healthy. Everybody's check is going to clear. We don't have any issues. But, like, you need to stop talking about trying to get equal with the NBA. Like, it's a completely different scale. The ball is still round. It's slightly smaller. The hoops are still the same distance from each other. It's still a 94 by 50, but this is not the same sport we're playing here. And you haven't had enough people tell you that. What else?
I love that. By the way, smoking cigarettes. You talk about something of a a bygone era, something that I grew up in a household where both my parents smoked indoors. They would roll up windows in their car and smoke in the car. So that's the era I grew up in. I think it's a despicable habit. I think a little less of you if I see you doing it. So Eric Hosmer does a podcast. Eric Hosmer won a World Series with the Royals. He's a recent Padre. He's not a Padre anymore, but he talked about their South Korean shortstop, Kim, who's a good player. He's on my fantasy team. I root for him. But listen to this story about Kim.
I tell the story with Kim. I tell, you know, a lot of the Korean, the Japanese players, to calm the nerves, they smoke cigarettes. So Kim, his first year, crushing cigarettes. Hey, you go to use the bathroom down the clubhouse, and Kim's just boom, boom, boom. Like, God damn, Bobby.
Stress. Yeah.
Stress it. So year two, he comes back to spring training, right? He comes back to spring training, and he goes, hey, bro, me? No more cigarette. No more cigarette. We're like, oh, okay, good, good. We go the whole spring. Good. Second day of the season, six at bats in. We walk by, Kim's out there. We go, hey, you said you're done. He goes, mucho stress.
Great story. Good storyteller.
Who is that? Who told that story?
Eric Hosmer.
Oh my God, that is so good.
Could you imagine, though, being in any kind of sports clubhouse right now and dealing with that?
Like, I dealt with that when I was in Russia.
2024?
I dealt with that when I was in Russia.
Oh, I bet you did, but that was 20 years ago?
It was 20 years ago. When I was in Russia, I played for a team called Ural Great. It's in Perm, Russia, but it's pronounced Perm, Russia. It's actually the second biggest city in Russia. And we were like an all-star team put together to win the championship, but the first team since Perestroika, so since the early 90s, to win, and we weren't the Red Army's team, which is CSKA, CSKA, as they're known locally. Anyway, we had a guy on our team, and most guys in Russia, right, they're either Volodya, which is short for Vladimir, they're Sasha, which is short for, Sasha is Alexander. The nickname for Alexander is Sasha. Right, so if you see a bunch of Alexanders, everybody calls them Sasha. Right? Volodya is Vladimir or Vlad, you know, whatever. So I think that this was there's other names. They all have like, it's just like William and Bill is Sasha and Alexander, right? So I believe this was Sasha. And he, two things about him. One, he smoked cigarettes, and two, he smelled. And by smelled, I mean a no deodorant guy. And we only had one no deodorant guy on the team. And he fucking smelled. And it was bad. And the worst part about it was, like, he was a wing. And so sometimes you get cross-matched and match up with him. And if you touched him in practice, your fucking jersey smelled for like a week. It was terrible. You compound that with the fact that he liked to smoke a cigarette after practice and after games. And he would smoke a cigarette in the fucking shower. In the shower. And you're like, why does that matter? Well, have you ever had BO and you go in the shower? Or here's one. Have you ever farted and gone in the shower? What does the shower do to it?
Amplifies
it, right? So you walk into a shower after a game and you might have played well. And you're just like, man, I just want to get a shower, grab my stuff, you know, see my wife, get the fuck out of here. And you walk in and the smell of cigarettes and BO amplified in the fucking shower was the worst. But yes, the cigarettes, I've had one puff of a cigarette in my life. That was enough for me. And I describe it basically as, I've never licked somebody's butthole, but that's probably what licking somebody's butthole would be like.
What's the old Steve Martin line? It's God dang it. When somebody says, excuse me, do you mind if I smoke? No, do you mind if I spit tobacco juice in your face? So you got people that smoke, Jim Trotter's hedge column and Anthony Davis.
Before you get to that, Doug,
yeah.
Can I add one thing?
Sure.
You know, let's say that the United States versus the rest of the world, there's a lot of things that other countries dunk on the U.S. you know, maybe they're not as obese. They will have a different kind of work schedule. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to smoking cigarettes, we are good on that. We like, I've been to Spain. I've been to London twice. There's a lot of smokers. And the U.S., you just see it less and less. It's like a generationally, it just drops off. So it's something kind of be proud about being an American, is that we're not puffing the chimney, you know, all the time. And you see it in Asian countries. You see it in European countries. You see it in Russia. So that's something to be proud of, that we actually have one thing that we're good at, and that's staying away from cigarettes for the most part.
Yeah, congrats. I don't think that nets out really all that well. Do you know what the number one demo that decides whether or not you smoke or don't smoke?
Poverty?
Nope. But close. But it also, that affects this demo a little bit. Jay Stu, you want to take a shot?
No, I don't. I can't even guess, but that would have been my first guess. I know poor people like to smoke.
Yes, they do.
It's a stress thing, managing stress.
Yes.
Doing what feels good in the moment. What about
number one demo?
Being a first generation American, like your parents are from another country, and maybe you take on their habits that they were smokers in another country?
It's level education. That's what it is.
The higher the education, the less likely you are to smoke.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And, you know, it's one of the things that, you know, the more you learn. Now, it does, I know, I've known doctors that smoke. So it doesn't hold true 100%. But it generally holds true that the more educated you are, the less likely you are to smoke.
That makes sense.
Which is an easy one to tell your kids. Just like, listen, if you want to look like a fucking dumbass, smoke. Smart people don't smoke. Educated people don't smoke because they know it fucking kills you. And it's crazy expensive. And it's gross. And it smells everything. And distorts your sense of taste and smell and makes your hands all yellow.
It actually changes the chemistry in your brain.
Yeah, it's terrible shit. Terrible shit. But people still do it. Still do it. I'm going to go with Anthony Davis because he gets the benefit of the doubt of being one of these great players without actually taking over enough games. Like the way it works in the NBA is you're actually allowed to fail in trying to, but if you're the best player, but you got to try and take over a game. And I'm not saying he's not wrong that they didn't know what they're doing, that guys don't know where to get the ball, whatever. But show me the clip of Anthony Davis calling for the ball, going, give me the fucking ball. I'm going to win this game. It doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen a lot. So Anthony Davis complaining about his coaches. You're annoying!
Why are we doing this?
Why do I?
Because we can.
So Sam's You're Annoying earlier in the week was Antonio Brown. Maybe it was last week. Antonio Brown, it says some despicable things on Twitter. He's one of those I don't give 10 fucks people. He can't be canceled. I guess he's got a podcast now, and that sounds hilarious. Just hearing these two guys talk makes me laugh. Antonio Brown had Tyreek Hill on his podcast, and they played this game. Antonio Brown's going to tell you what the game is called. It's really funny.
Late round picks, we passing guys up. Sorry. Small school guys grind harder. Could you attest to that, Chief?
Yes. Yes. JUCO, small school guys. Let's get it.
Okay, let me ask him about another receiver, because this is the top five. Is he all right?
Okay.
Jalen Waddle. Is he all right?
Oh, he lit.
Where was he in the big game, Cheetah?
Bruh, come on, bro.
Cheetah, I'm not saying answer for Jalen Waddle. This is the segment. Is he all right? I'm saying, is he all right?
He lit, bro. My brother lit, bro.
Is he lit?
He lit, bro.
Pull up his stat. Let me check. Is he shitty or what?
I want to do a game. I want to do a new game, and maybe Dan Beyer could deliver this. Is he all right? Is he all right? And we just go down, like, you know, I don't know, John Fogerty. Is he all right? I love the concept.
I love the concept of a CRI, but what does that mean?
Who knows? That's what's great about it.
I love that sound. That's so good. CI? Yeah, he's I. Yai, yai, yai. I bet. Why can we play it for you? Because we can. Let's get to our pick of the day.
Okay, sir, the bet is to you.
All in, baby!
It's time for the pick of the day.
Okay, pick of the day comes from the NBA. Lakers return home, take on the Nuggets. This feels to me like Lakers' last stand. Feels to me like a Lakers win. You know? Two really competitive games in altitude. Now you come back home. You get a couple calls. They're a one-point favorite. That's basically a pick 'em. Give me the Lakers tonight. The Laker blue and gold. You got to be old school L.A. to remember when Che Kern used to describe them as Laker blue. Or before that, Forum blue and gold. All right, that's it for the In the Bonus podcast. Check out the radio show every day, 3 to 5 Eastern time on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app. And, of course, you can roll into it now if you download this. Appreciate you listening. I'm Doug Gottlieb.
High Five Casino.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Every Day Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Every Day Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Every Day Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.